Welcome, and thanks for joining us for this episode of the C3 Church Podcast. You're about to listen into a message from one of our gatherings. To find out more about our community, where we gather both in person and online, and how to get involved, head to c3church.ca. Now, let's listen into a message from a recent service.
If you grew up in a traditional church, did any of the old hymns come to mind this morning when you got out of bed? Am I the only one? Blair, what did you have? Come on, you had to have one.
Up from the grave, he arose.
Right. I can't ever remember the second line because I made up a second line to it one time. Up from the grave, he arose. The one I thought of, and I even wrote it down because Blair and I were going to sing it. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. I love that.
Great verse.
Any more? Come on, Hannah, you had to have one.
I just have the second line of the one you were saying.
Oh. All right, because this is Super Bowl Sunday for the church, right? This to me, because, you know, there's a big party after the Super Bowl. We were talking about it before church started this morning. You know, at the end of the FIFA World Cup, there was a big party after for the winning team. There's always these big parties for the winning team, right? And the church, we somehow like, oh yeah, like it's the death and resurrection. Come on, it's the resurrection of Christ. This is Easter Sunday. This is what our faith is all about, is today. This is the pinnacle of Christianity, is Easter Sunday. I mean, there are other important dates that I will not dismiss. But Easter Sunday is what we're all about. And so I make no apologies for celebrating Easter, right? I don't, we're going to do communion in a few minutes. And in my mind, I think I don't celebrate communion. I partake of communion. I respectfully take communion. But to me, the death of Christ isn't the celebration part, right? The resurrection of Christ is the celebration part. So why did Jesus come to earth in the first place? Why did he bother with us? If you've been here and I'm, oh, see, I forget too. Hi, my name is Pastor Russ. welcome to church this morning. Welcome to all of our visitors. My wife, Jasmine, and I have the privilege of pastoring the Revelstoke location of C3 Central BC. And we're so happy that you're here. If you're on the podcast, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Probably after Easter Sunday, but welcome to you as well. So we've been doing this year of spiritual formation. And so for the past couple months, we have talked about the doctrine of God and the doctrine of Christ. And people were all kind of freaked out in January that we're going to, oh no, it's going to be all this theology and what are we going to do? But it has been really interesting. And we've had small group studies around the Sunday sermons. And I've loved being part of a small group talking about the things that we've talked about on Sunday. And the one thing that's really stuck out in my mind that I'd never heard about before, and it came up through Pastor Dave Olson, it was the dance of the Trinity. We were trying to describe the Trinity, and there's always, you know, the eggshell and the yolk and the white and how they all blend together, and how that's not really an accurate depiction of the Trinity, but it works for kids' church, right? But he talked about this dance where the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all equal, and they're dancing together. And I have this picture in my mind of the celebratory music and the arm-in-arm, you know, dancing. I am not going to do that. I would rather sing than dance, and you would rather have me sing than dance. But that to me, so God the Son was there at the beginning, right? And yet, it says in John 3:16, this is why he came. It says, this is how God loved the world. He gave his only one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. So he came to save the world, right? He came to save the world. People sometimes think that Christianity is really judgy, right? And it's not meant to be judgy. It's meant to be saving. He came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Not just a few people. not just the select group, right? Even when the formation of the Jewish people kind of came, and still there was this acceptance that everybody was going to be part of it. It wasn't just going to be the Jewish people, right? It was the world. And Second Peter says, and I sometimes wonder, like, oh man, it takes so long, right? It's taken so long. It's 2,000 years since he came, right? I worked in the mill here for 30 years. I'm a production guy, right? Better, faster, cheaper, right? You make as much lumber as fast and safely as possible for the lowest cost. And so when I look at timing, you know, I think, wow, like, couldn't we have done this faster? You know, do we have to take 2,000 years to make it happen? But listen to this from 2 Peter chapter 3. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think, right? Slow. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everybody to repent. So we talked about during our spiritual transformation, our spiritual formation thing, that Christ came to lay down his life as one sacrifice. So there was this whole sacrificial system that the, you know, bulls and goats and sheep and doves and were being sacrificed on a consistent basis, but they never led to the forgiveness of sin. It was all about trying to get to God and purity, but they were never an ultimate sacrifice. They always had to be repeated, right? But Christ came and he fulfilled the terms of that old covenant, and the Bible talks about a new covenant being written in the hearts of man. And he didn't abolish the old covenant, he fulfilled the old covenant. And so, you know, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, he demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we don't talk about sin very much anymore in our world. We don't hear the word, that was sin. But there is a definition of sin. And I really like this Billy Graham definition. I just think it's very well written. And so I'm not reinventing the wheel. I'm going to quote Billy Graham, because I can't be wrong. So a sin. So we're going to talk about sin for a minute. A sin is any thought or action that falls short of God's will. God is perfect, and anything we do that falls short of his perfection is sin. Oh, that's, wow. So that's, I'm going to read that part again. Anything we do that falls short of his perfection is sin. The Bible actually uses a number of examples or word pictures to illustrate what this means. For example, it tells us that sin is like an archer who misses the target. He draws back his bow and sends the arrow on its way, but instead of hitting the bullseye, it veers off the course and misses the mark. The arrow may only miss it a little bit, or it may miss it a great deal, but the result is the same. The arrow doesn't land where it's supposed to. The same is true of sin. God's will is like the center of that target, and when we sin, we fall short of his will, or we miss the mark. So, anybody here done archery? Anybody here done curling? Okay. Doing that for, I knew Gary put up his hand for that one. Okay, we watched the...
Swansfield.
Yeah.
Finals.
We're watching women's curling. But I think it's so incredible that, I mean, I think archery is amazing, but I was looking at, we were watching curling. So you pull back and you push this stone down. How many feet, Gary? Do you know? Ish. You got to, and you have to, you're aiming for this little bullseye in the middle of this thing on the ice. You're sliding, you're pushing, they're sweeping. There's strategy involved. I was amazed when we actually started watching it. But they're trying to aim for the middle of this big circle. And, you know, points are based on how many rocks get closer to the middle of the circle. Archery, you've got this, there's a big target, but you're trying to hit the center. For those of us who have done any type of shooting, right, you're always trying to get a grouping in the middle. You don't really care if the grouping is on the outside. You're trying to shoot for that middle. But what it's saying here is you have, this is the middle, okay? You're a quarter of an inch away from that. It's a miss.
Right.
You're over a foot away from it. It's a myth. It's still a myth, right? You can be so close and still miss. And that is the thing that I was really thinking about when I thought of this. There's some people that I know that are so close. They are good people. They care for other people. They love their neighbor. They take care of widows and orphans. Like, they do the right things. They're so close, but they've missed the mark because they have not asked for forgiveness of sin. They're just on the edge, but they've never made the step. And you know, the Bible says in 1 John that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. And you know, in case you're wondering if you're that person, well, if I sinned, I'm a good person. I've never killed anybody. I don't cheat on my taxes. You know, those kind of things. Romans 3, just to put it in perspective, says that everybody has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. So, wow. It's Downer Sunday, everyone. We've all fallen short. Why are we here? Well, you know, we talked about Christ's blood was shed so that we could be forgiven, right? And that's the point of we partake of communion together because we remember the death of Christ and what that shed blood meant for us. And so we're going to take communion here as part of the service this morning. I know it's not the first Sunday of the month. Don't worry. We're doing it differently. We do it differently, though, in our church. So in some churches, communion is served and people go up and down the aisles and serve. In our church, we don't do that. We ask people to come up and take the emblems and go back to their seats. So I'm going to invite you to do that this morning. Come up and take the emblems off of the communion table. I love that we have the cross there signifying the death of Christ, but then there's the empty tomb, the picture of the empty tomb. And so we're going to remember the death of Christ this morning, but we're going to look forward to the empty tomb in just a minute. So please line up, come and take communion. If we have open communion, we do not have church membership. If you believe that in Christ, that he has come and you have asked for forgiveness of your sins, we invite you to take communion with us. We are not opposed to anybody taking communion with us. So please do that. While you do that, I'm looking up the lyrics from Up From the Grave He Arose. I'm not. Oh, see, Blair knows it. All right. So we're going to talk about this after, but I want to read this verse of the lyrics, or the chorus. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. Hallelujah, Christ arose. I just think those are much more powerful words than the Christmas carols. So I love the picture of the change that happens in the covenants at the Last Supper when Jesus, before on the night he was betrayed, he was having dinner with his friends. And it was Passover. It was an annual tradition celebrating the leaving of the Israelite people from slavery in Egypt. And it was something they were supposed to celebrate every year. And so they were doing it. I always think it was fascinating that Jesus saw Passover as important. You know, so he was taking part in that tradition. He hadn't thought, I'm the Son of God, this is above me, right? He was celebrating that tradition with his followers. But he made it a little different that night. They're all sitting there, and so he takes the bread, unleavened bread. So we celebrate it with a cracker. You can't get much more unleavened than a cracker. But it represents, and Christ said, to take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you, right? It was broken for you. And so he took that symbol of that unleavened bread and he changed it to mean that we're going to remember his broken body and his death. And then he took the cup and he said that this represented his blood being poured out for them, right? A new covenant being made, that was the final ultimate sacrifice, that sacrificial system would cease to be necessary because his sacrifice, his blood being shed, would be the one sacrifice necessary for all men for all time. Amazing. I can't really fathom it. It's still a mystery to me, but I'm so grateful for that and that it happened. So let's this morning, as we take the emblem, this isn't magic, it's symbols, right? It's a symbol of his broken body, and we're going to take it, and we're going to eat our crackers, and we're going to just remember for a moment that sacrificial death of Christ. And then we're going to take the cup and just hold it for a minute and just remember that it's a symbol of his blood that was shed for you, and that your life is different today because that he shed his blood for you. And Jesus, we are so grateful this morning that you gave your life for us, that your blood was shed for us, that you stepped out of the dance momentarily to come to earth for us, to die and shed your blood for us. And we're so grateful for that this morning. Amen. Amen. So that's the part we want to, because without the death, there's no resurrection, right? So the death is important. The shedding of the blood is important. But Easter is the next chapter. And we believe as Christians that Jesus was resurrected in bodily form from the grave after it had been verified that he was dead. So John chapter 19, just in case we're worried, they came to Jesus. So it's the Sabbath. The people, the leaders have gone and said, hey, like, we can't have people hanging on the cross at the Sabbath. We have to make sure everybody's dead. Very thoughtful. So they come and they break the legs of the two people that were with Jesus so that it would bring on their death quicker. Not pleasant to think of, but they find that Jesus was already dead. So John chapter 19 says, when they came to Jesus, they saw he was already dead. So they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. So they wanted to make sure. He looked like he was dead, but they wanted to be sure. So they drove a spear into the sack around his heart. And because he was dead, it didn't just come out as blood. It was like blood and water. So I read this last Easter for the first time, but I just had to read it again this year. It's called Sunday's Coming, and it's by S.M. Lockridge. I had to look up S.M. Lockridge this morning. I'm always curious who writes these things. His full name, Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. Seriously, that's his name. He was born in 1913, died in the year 2000, an African-American Baptist preacher. He retired in 1993. So he was born in 1913, retired in 1993. 80 years old when he retired. Like, wow. All right, so listen to this. It is Friday. Jesus is praying, Peter's asleep, Judas is betraying, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday, and the disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter's denying, but they don't know that Sunday's a-coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns, but they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood is dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit is burdened. But you see, it's only Friday, and Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. Evil is grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nail my Savior's hands to the cross. They nail my Savior's feet to the cross. They raise him up next to criminals. It's Friday, but let me tell you something. Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. The Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has achieved, but they don't know it's only Friday and Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, and the earth trembles and the sky grows dark, and my king yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered, and Satan is just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. Soldiers stand guard. A rock is rolled in place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday, and Sunday's coming. Yes. Sunday's coming. I love that. Sunday is coming. My favorite verse. I like a lot of verses of scripture, but my favorite, Luke 24, chapter 5, or verse 5. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Right? He is not here. He is risen. He is risen.
Yes.
It says it all. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Romans chapter 1, verse 4 says, God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son. In this earthly life, he was born into King David's family line. He was shown to be God, the Son of God, when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Sorry, I have to take away the music that Blair and I were going to sing right there. Yeah, Blair's sighing. I can hear him already. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says this, I passed on to you what was most important and what we also passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter, and then the 12. He was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by the apostles. And last of all, as though I have been born out the wrong time, I also saw him. You know, and Paul, he speaks quite eloquently about the resurrection. And he says in 1 Corinthians, there's a couple verses here. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. Wow. Like, in case you think the resurrection may not be important, it's important, right? This is what it's all about. In 1 Corinthians 5:17, he says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sin. Didn't Christ die for our sins? Yeah, he did. But the death without the resurrection is useless. Right? It's useless. The resurrection means that death is defeated once and for all. There has to be a death if there's going to be victory over death. Right? You can't have a victory over something that didn't happen. Right? So they needed the victory over death. 2 Corinthians 5, so it says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. All of this is a gift from God who brought us back to Christ, to himself through Christ. So You know, I still picture the dance of the Trinity, right? And it was a really eloquent picture that Pastor Dave gave us with that dance. And I just think of us getting to be part of the dance, right? We become, it says that we become the children of God, right? And so we get to be part of the dance. We're not as important, but we get to dance, right? Because we have a new life, right? My new life is a result of the forgiveness of sin. And we have new life in Christ. We have new life, like new life. You might be old, but you get new life. It doesn't mean that you become 19 again. Okay, sorry if you're a senior. But your life becomes new, right? Christ says in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, "My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life."
Yes, love that.
I want that. I want a rich and satisfying life, right? And I think if you are apart from Christ, you may have a good life, but you're going to miss the mark. And you're not going to have the rich, fulfilling, satisfying life that you would have if you're part of the family of God, if you had Christ in your life, right? You can be so close and miss the mark, right? And miss the mark. A rich and satisfying life does not mean a life of wealth and no trouble, right? If you have... If you've been taught that or you think that, I'm afraid that you have been deceived, right? The Bible is very plain that it says that in this life you will have trouble. Oh, I don't want to read that verse. What happened to the happy, happy, joy, joy verses, right? But we will have trouble. But he says, you know, take heart. You have overcome the world, right? You have overcome it. It doesn't mean you won't have it, but it means that you will overcome it. So what's abundant life look like? You know, I think, you know, the fruit of the Spirit and the song goes through my mind, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control, right? That to me, if I have those, if I can have those fruit of the Spirit, I will have a rich, abundant life. I was watching this morning, taking a couple minutes on my Facebook page, because I like the little videos and watching road rage incidents. Those people do not have rich, satisfying lives. Like, seriously, if getting cut off in traffic means you're going to go punch somebody's window out, you do not have patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control, right? If you are that person, don't put the fish sticker on your bumper, all right? Don't put anything that says something about Christianity on your bumper of your car. But life in Christ is not going to be boring. It's not meant to be boring. It's meant to be rich and satisfying. It's a life marked with change and challenge, right? I came to Christ when I was 15. Now my number has a 6, and it's not the second number. But I refuse to believe that my life in Christ is over. I can't fathom the fact that there's still not more to the adventure. Absolutely. You know, that the adventure of living in Christ does not end when you start collecting a pension, right? I was thinking of that, of S.M. Lockridge. He retired at 80 from pastoring in the Baptist church. Wow. Like, I'm not saying I'm going to, you know, I've already retired from one job. But because you retire doesn't mean you stop living. Right? Because you make a change in your life doesn't mean that you stop living. I believe that God has more in store for me. And I believe with all of my heart that God has something more in store for each of you. Even those of you who I've just met and don't even know. I am confident that God has more in store for you.
Absolutely.
Because that's just who he is. Right? That's who he is. The adventure does not depend on my age or your age, but the thing I think is the most incredible is the adventure doesn't end when I draw my last breath. And we don't really talk about that a lot sometimes, but we believe in everlasting life, right? It's not a life that ends when we take, like our friend's dad just passed away. The passing away is just a transitory moment,
yeah.
Right? Our Christ in 1 Corinthians again, chapter 15, this is a wonderful chapter. There's so much in this chapter. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from it. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who died. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. So I believe in eternal life. I don't know what it looks like. I don't have that firm grasp of, you know, streets of gold and mansions and all those things that we hear about in the songs. But I believe it's going to be an incredible place. Will there be fishing? Must be catch and release in heaven. When years ago we were having this discussion in kids' church about animals in heaven, and I said, well, dogs, yes, cats, no. And this girl who was probably about 10 at the time said, I hope there's cats in heaven and they all live right next door to you. So we may not know what heaven looks like, all the intricacies of it, but we know that it's a marvelous place, right? And that our life, once our physical life ends, our eternity continues.
Yes.
And so I don't know about your past. I know some people's stories, but I don't know about your past. If you're listening on the podcast, I have no idea about your past. But your past doesn't matter to Christ. Yep. Because there's forgiveness in Christ. You can't work your way up to it. You can't qualify for it on your own. If you're one of the people that thinks, I'd really like to go to church, but if I set foot on the steps of C3 Church in Revelstoke, lightning will strike me dead because I just can't get into church. That is not correct, right? It doesn't matter. There is forgiveness from your past. You may have a hard time fathoming that. I have been so bad. You do not have any idea of what I have done. You're right. I don't need to have any idea. But I am secure in the forgiveness that comes through the shed blood of Christ. And I am secure in a new life in Christ that happens when your sins are forgiven. Does it mean that you won't struggle with things from your past? No. But now you have a way to handle it. Does it mean that you'll never be tempted to do bad things again? No, but temptation is not wrong. Temptation isn't wrong. Does it mean that you won't have struggles? No, but there's no sin that God cannot forgive.
That's right.
And the thing that I always find amazing is that, here's the mark, remember, and you can be so close to the mark, or you can be this far away from it. And the forgiveness reorients the arrow. Right?
Good.
And gets you right in the middle of the target. You know, it hits the target because now you have something that's aiming the arrow. It's not just you. And so I want you to understand that today, that none of us can qualify on our own for this life in Christ, for this life or the life to come. But the Bible says that now is the accepted time.
Yeah.
Now is the day of salvation. And so if you're here this morning and you're or listening on the podcast and you've never made a decision for Christ, now is the accepted time. Today is what we are all about, right? Resurrection Sunday, new life in Christ, forgiveness from the past, new life, the old things being passed away and celebrating new life. And so I would just like everybody to bow your heads for a moment, and I would just like you to contemplate for a moment where you believe you are with Christ. You may believe in God. You may believe that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of man. I at one time believed that. I grew up in church and I never didn't believe in Christ. I always believed that Jesus died for the sins of man. I just didn't know I was one of the men he died for and that I had to do something about it myself and make a decision. And so A pastor asked this question in a service one day. If you died tonight, do you know that you would be going to heaven? Do you know that you would be with Christ? Have you accepted the forgiveness of God that comes through Christ's blood? And so I would ask you that question today. Have you accepted the forgiveness of God? And if not, would you choose to do that this morning? And with everybody's eyes closed and nobody looking around, if you were that person, would you just raise your hand this morning and say, yeah, I'm that person, and I would like to commit my life to Christ this morning. Well, Father, I am so overcome with gratitude this morning for what Jesus has done for us. That he would step out and he would shed his blood for my sin. And that he would be resurrected and come to life for my new life. Thank you for the new life that we have in Christ, the new life that we enjoy, a life of forgiveness, a life of hope, a life of things to come. And so I thank you and praise you today, God, for the celebration of a Resurrection Sunday. And I thank you for your continued faithfulness to us as your people as we walk through this daily life with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in today. Each week, we gather in cities across our region and online to explore the truth of freedom available to all in the message of Jesus Christ. To find a gathering near you or to find out more, head to c3church.ca.